Welcome back to our next episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello again, Walter.
We meet again.
Yes. And we can continue discussing of all the interesting things that's happening in the world. But before we begin, I'll open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you very much for bringing us back together. We ask that you enlighten our minds, have the Holy Spirit help us, and also bless the discussion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We were discussing North versus South, and we got to a certain point, and now we have to continue with our discussion. We want to get to the story of the Great Reset. Remember, there was a thesis, an antithesis, and a synthesis. So somehow there must be a reset so that you can have a synthesis. You must have the two opposing ideologies coming to a synthesis, and then the final events. The verses that we discussed were Daniel chapter 11, and we'll just repeat them here for the sake of introduction. And at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push against the king of the north. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Now we discussed the chariots and the whirlwind and the horsemen, which was war, preparation for war, rumors of war. We did that in the last episode. Yes. And the economy, of course, will also be in the mix here.
Yes.
And already we have trade wars between China and the United States, King of the North, King of the South. Yes. And he, the King of the North, shall enter into the glorious land. We discussed how he will even infiltrate God's people and try to change the direction. But God is in control, and he will sort that out.
Yes.
We also discussed whether this is a conspiracy theory, and we decided no. If you use the biblical filters, then you are not discussing the conspiracy theory, you are discussing the unfolding of prophetic events.
Yes.
So Noah was a conspiracy theorist, and then it started to rain. Jeremiah was a conspiracy theorist, and then the king of the north attacked Jerusalem. So we can expect, as Jeremiah, by the way, Jeremiah was a type of the three angels' messages.
Mm.
One of his great warnings was, we should return to God's commandments, we should worship God according to his dictates, and flee from the king of the north. Come out of her, my people. That message was all part and parcel of the book of Jeremiah.
Yes.
So Jeremiah preached that the king of the north was coming, and it was considered a conspiracy theorist. And his own church put him in stocks. His own church put him into the system. But he had this faithful scribe, Baruch, and he gave him a DVD.
Yes.
And he said, go to the king. And go and give him the DVD. And the king tore it up and
threw it out
into
the window.
The fire. So he made another five lectures on it and increased it and sent him some more DVDs. I think it was called Total Onslaught at that stage.
Yes.
And said, go look at that. And they weren't very happy. They called him a conspiracy theorist. So we can expect the same. But irrespective of that, let's be biblical conspiracy theorists and not coincidence apologists, because we need to go down that road. So where are we going in terms of the synthesis?
Yes, because now in the previous episode, you've seen clearly the king of the north-south situation with the wars.
Yes.
The rumors of wars that's starting.
Now, the synthesis too has two sides. You have the king of the south's view of a world after all of these events, and you have a king of the north view as to what the world will look like after all of these events. So somewhere there must be some form of compromise. But because they're sitting, as we saw in the last one, at one table, there must be a plan that is not immediately apparent. But let's have a look at some of these things. Now, when you're talking about the United Nations, the United Nations is a very interesting body. It has a very sharp and stark religious component. And they have the Temple of Understanding, and they have the philosophy of Alice A. Bailey, which is Lucifer Trust, Lucis Trust, they later called it, which is Luciferian doctrine, which is very, very strongly incorporated in United Nations thinking. But then you also have this secularism, this King of the South aspect.
Yes.
And the present UN chief, Guterres, is of course on that track. He's very communistically minded. So he says the UN chief calls for one supreme body of global governance. In response to the questions as to exactly what the UN has achieved over three quarters of a century, Guterres said at least the Third World War, so many people have predicted, was avoided. Yes, it was avoided until now, but that doesn't mean that it will be avoided in future,
yeah,
right?
Continue to be avoided.
So do you accept his mindset? Do you accept any of these? And Matt on Amazing Discoveries gave a little discussion on the philosophy of Guterres, so they can perhaps look at that
I'll
one.
Put that link as well.
Put that link in there, yes. Because it'll give people an idea of where he stands, yes, in terms of his thinking. He's definitely not King of the North thinking.
No.
He's King of the South thinking.
And now, that's also interesting, is if you know the King of the South, the UN is part of that, then anybody that affiliates them with them also becomes part of the King of the South.
Correct. And the United States is, of course, now totally against this. So you have these two aspects. Now, the World Economic Forum is also very active in this discussion. The COVID-19 recovery can be the vaccine for climate change. Because we have to link all of these issues into the story.
Mm-hmm.
So they all look disjointed. But there's a common theme running through them because there's a mastermind. And if you deny that there is a mastermind behind all of this, the dragon himself,
yes,
Satan, if you deny that there is a theme behind the scenes to bring about his agenda, then you are denying biblical prophecy.
Yes.
In fact, you are denying the entire scriptures.
It's important to remember, talking about the King of the North and King of the South, the dragon is behind both of them.
Absolutely.
He is the supreme.
He is the one who gives his seat and great authority to the Babylonian king, who is a type of Christ. He is the one who received the mortal wound and had a resurrection. All power is given unto him. All judgment is given unto him. He's the way of salvation. I mean, it's a perfect counterfeit of the real Christ.
And if I may, can I just put it in blunt terms, is the devil is behind all of this.
All of it.
So that's.
And he's playing both sides. He is the puppet master.
Yes.
COVID-19 was not just a predictable crisis. It was predicted.
Yeah.
The World Economic Forum says this was going to happen. This was going to happen. Of course it was going to happen, especially if it was planned, it was going to happen.
Yes.
Now, we're not going to go there. That's not our job, whether this is a plandemic or a pandemic. We leave that to the critics. We're not interested in how it came about. We're only interested in what are the consequences going to,
yes,
be. That is what we are looking at.
And as we go on, remember, the people that associate with the United Nations and the World Economic Forum will form part of the King of the South.
Yes.
And that will just make a few things clearer.
And so we'll have this conflict, and the Bible is very clear as to which mindset eventually will have the upper hand. In a synthesis, though.
Yes.
So it'll look different to what we might expect. So climate change becomes part of the equation. Do you know, I would almost like to say that climate change is the glue for the synthesis. Because you have two totally different mindsets. One religious, one secular. And somehow the two have to come together. What's going to glue them together? What's going to be a common factor between both of them? Climate change. So if you can get the religio aspect in it, and you can get the secular aspect in it, then you have a glue.
Yes.
So let's see how they want to do this. In the US, which currently has far more cases and deaths than any other country, the Obama administration notably left a 69-page pandemic game plan in place for incoming administration to no avail. So this has been planned for a long time. Do you think they were sitting at one table?
Well, it's interesting how they join. Well, in the language that I read here, maybe they put the Obama administration under the King of the South.
Absolutely, absolutely. However, what is most concerning about COVID-19 is not the virus itself, but rather that it may be a harbinger of things to come. Climate change.
Yeah. And then,
now, it's interesting how you link a virus to climate change. Now, the Pope also linked it to climate change. Yes. Because of climate change, you're going to have all these different viruses suddenly popping up,
yes,
right?
He said it's nature having a fit.
Yes, nature having a fit, correct. A quandary of our own making. It's said to become the worst crisis of our times. So, again, let's reiterate, whether real or perceived is irrelevant. What is the consequence? So we're not choosing sides. Yeah. There are clear connections between COVID-19 and the climate crisis. Now, to me personally, they are as clear as mud. Where is the connection unless you believe that it is nature having a fit, like the Pope said? No, they want you to believe that there is a connection so that they can move from the one aspect to the next aspect. Now, the World Economic Forum continues and it says, now is the time for a great reset. Push the reset the world button.
Reset the world.
Reset the world. Now, all sides want a reset. They need a reset. We have to change things. The one side says we have to drain the swamp and reset. Mm-hmm. The other one says, no, the swamp philosophy is the reset.
Yes.
So we need to have this reset. Both sides want a reset. So there will be a reset. And it will affect us, right?
Yes.
Positively or negatively, according to the scriptures?
Negatively.
Must be, right?
The commandment keeping people.
So the lockdowns are easing, and in other places they are increasing again. So this thing is not going to go away easily. Every country from the United States to China must participate. And every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism. Now, if you go back in history and you go to the papal encyclicals, Rerum Novarum, they were talking about a great reset then again. So the great enemy, of course, was capitalism in its present form. They want a kind of Catholic social doctrine, which is more in line with the King of the South philosophy. There are many reasons to pursue a great reset, but the most urgent is COVID-19. Having already led to hundreds of thousands of deaths, the pandemic represents one of the worst public health crises in recent history. And with casualties still mounting in many parts of the world, it is far from over. And they're constantly pushing this agenda. It's not over. And
second wave.
If you think it's going to be over, there'll be a second wave, right? And if you think that's not going to do it, there'll be a more potent one that comes along the line. All of this will exacerbate the climate and social crisis that we're already underway.
Climate again.
They're linking it to climate all the time. They need a glue.
Yes.
They need a glue. In frustrations of a social ills like rising inequality. I wonder what rising inequality has to do with the climate. But it somehow gets pushed
in there.
You get the whole social doctrine pushed in there. But there's no conspiracy. No. U.S. billionaires' combined wealth has increased during the crisis, are intensifying. So the wealth of capitalism.
Yeah, and frustrations over this is intensifying. The rich are getting richer, and this whole climate thing is getting out of hand.
I think if one more person gets rich, we'll have a climate crisis, definitely. So how do they think? How does this World Economic Forum and the United Nations, how do they envisage the Great Reset? You put together a little video, didn't you?
Because sometimes when you read an article like this, you read it, but you don't actually see who's the players, who's actually
who
involved.
Who are the role players?
Yeah, who's involved with this?
Okay, so let's have a look at the little video in this regard.
The COVID-19 crisis has shown us that our old systems are not fit anymore for the 21st century. Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system for the need for the post-corona era.
The COVID-19 pandemic is causing enormous human suffering and economic hardship. A microscopic virus has closed down entire countries and economies. In doing so, it has exposed the fragility that characterizes much of our world. But this fragility is not confined to health systems. Runaway climate change, unsustainable levels of inequality, and the lawlessness of cyberspace are all warning signs that we must heed. The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call. As you rightly say, it is imperative that we reimagine, rebuild, redesign, reinvigorate, and rebalance our world.
The threats posed by this dreadful pandemic came upon us suddenly with very little warning. The threat of climate change has been more gradual, but its devastating reality for many people and their livelihoods around the world, and its ever greater potential to disrupt, surpasses even that of COVID-19. And as we move from rescue to recovery, therefore, we have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path. It is an opportunity we have never had before and may never have again.
What is it that would make it so that history would look at this crisis as the great opportunity for reset? From the perspective of the IMF, what we see is inevitably a very massive injection of fiscal stimulus to help countries deal with this crisis and shift gear for growth to return. But it is paramount that this growth leads to a greener, smarter, and more fairer world in the future.
You know, I've been saying for a while that the world's problems fit on three sides of a triangle. That's the prism you should look through. We just talked about them. It's one versus many, man versus nature, and the unfortunate foundation is long-term versus short-term. There is not enough money in government or philanthropy to make it possible to deal with the three sides of this triangle. You need private sector capital, private sector ingenuity, private sector technology, and private sector capabilities to come to the party.
But we must end the short-termism, whether it's about investment or our approach to debt, which is, after all, investment in the future.
You know, just in closing, Adrian, I would say we need our imagination here. We're seeing today, every day, the art of the possible. The possible is being redefined each and every day right now. So the next time someone tells us that tackling climate change is either too costly or too difficult, I think we need to remind them and remind ourselves of what just is happening right now. So that's where we are at. Back to you, Adrian.
I think we have the opportunity to recognize that data and technology more broadly are indispensable tools to solving almost any of the problems that we confront. But I think what we really have the opportunity to do is unite the private sector, use digital technology to better measure scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions created in the building of products and empower consumers around the world. So when they make a choice about which product to purchase, they can see what was emitted in terms of the amount of carbon to create that product in the same way that they can read the nutritional content on a label at the grocery store of a food product.
For my institution, we lean forward with everything we have towards this more sustainable and more inclusive world, more resilient world of tomorrow.
And the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum in January 21, which will serve as a global summit devoted to the Great Reset. There is no other way. We have to live up to the expectations which we have created, and we will do so. Thank you very much for joining this important Great Reset Initiative launch.
I think they want to reset. How many times did they repeat that word?
And how do they bring it the whole time back to climate change? Green and new, everything.
Everything goes back to climate change.
And this is the big players.
Yes, these are the big role players. And you know what is interesting? Public-private enterprise. It's the common theme that runs through this whole issue. Public-private enterprise. Now, that's basically the definition of fascism. Government and industry in partnership for community. That's fascism. And that's the form of government that the Jesuits want.
Yeah.
Now, there are many things in what these people are saying that the other side is totally opposed to.
Correct.
And they are going to fight against it with every fiber of their being. We find that those with a religious mindset are not buying into the COVID vaccine issue and saying this is a means to reduce world population and we will not be dictated to and have our freedoms taken away. And you had Prince Charles there. It was that book, The Sustainable Prince. I mean, he's been on this bandwagon for a very long time. And he has this massive economic input as well with his foundation. So all of these role players are moving in a particular direction, and you have another group moving in a very opposite direction.
Yes, there's this clash actually brewing up.
So is it a north-south clash?
Definitely.
We have again a north-south clash. And people are waiting for a savior to get you out of this. We don't want anything to do with that.
Yes, they're looking for the savior to get you out of the King of the South.
And they give the savior a name, QAnon.
Yeah.
QAnon is going to be the savior.
The QAnons are part of the anonymous people.
That don't want this. So you have Q. And there's another role player, which I don't think we should get too involved in, but that is the King of Manna. So who is the King of Manna? Who is Q? Are they real? Are there any possibilities of these saviors? We've discussed this before. It's irrelevant. Totally
exactly.
Irrelevant. You have to apply the filter. And everything has to be in harmony with that filter. That's your Bible. So where are we heading? We are heading towards a synthesis, and in the event, all nations, all the ideologies will be in opposition to God's people. That's where we're going.
Yes.
So we cannot choose sides.
So if you, for instance, if the king of the north, which we know according to the Bible, will be eventually taking over the king of the south. So if the swamp is drained, you're going to be very happy because the king of the south is being overtaken by the king of the north. But still the king of the north is also going to be against God's people.
Exactly. So can you choose sides?
No, that's...
No, but if you don't understand the biblical prophecy, you will be drawn into either the one ideology or the other. And you will take your stand with them. And perhaps you will pick up a placard and start marching with these people.
Yes.
And in actual fact, you're marching against God's people.
Yes.
That's amazing. It's a very dangerous thing.
That's why all will be affected.
Everybody. Everybody has to make a choice. And those that are wise, says Daniel, will lead many to righteousness. So, obviously, this system is not leading towards righteousness.
Mm-mm.
You can look at the philosophies of these people from the United Nations and from wherever. If you look at their philosophies, they are definitely not salvation in Christ alone philosophies. Just look at Prince Charles, for example. He will wear Muslim robes. He will be in a Christian setting. He is playing to all sides. But the Bible says there's only one way. There's only one way to salvation. So let God's people stand back, look at the theater, and make decisions based on Scripture.
Exactly. And it's also important to know that it will, the whole time, for God's people, it will look, it's not that hard to see the bad side of the king of the south, but it's hard to see the bad side of the king of the north.
The king of the north is slippery. He's more deceptive. We have to be very careful, and particularly since he's going to turn out to be the winner.
Yes. And he's going to have, like we said, he's going to infiltrate into the church.
And the Bible says the whole world wandered after the beast. Now that word wandered is with an O. That means we'll adopt the mindset or aspects of the mindset of the king of the north. So let's just look at the climate change issue, because that's the glue. The Pope says coronavirus should spark new environmental awareness. Now, there you have the spokesman for the king of the north direct,
mm-hmm.
because that is the king of the north. The drastic reduction in pollution during coronavirus lockdowns around the world should lead to greater concern for the environment as restrictions are lifted, Pope Francis said on Sunday. In other words, they don't really want to lift the restrictions. The restrictions are useful. Why are they so useful? Now, with the resumption of activities, we should all be more responsible for looking after our common home, he said, using his term for the earth.
Once again, for the common good.
Yeah, common good. In a 225-page manual released on Thursday, the Vatican said Catholics should disinvest from fossil fuel industries. It's interesting that the representative of British Petroleum
mm-hmm.
was also on the Reset initiative and closely monitor companies in sectors such as mining to check if they are damaging the environment. In other words, the Reset will greatly curtail many, many industries in the world. And Donald Trump recently had a speech in which he said, what will happen to Texas if we go this route?
Definitely.
Then he mentioned a lot of other states. What will happen to them? Are they just going to be economically trashed? How can we go along this road? So you have this interesting dichotomy. The Guardian said the world has 6 months to avert climate crisis. We better get on with these WhatsApps.
Yes.
Because we don't have any time, according to this. Now, first it was years, then it was 12 years, then now it's down to 6 months. So if the last events are rapid, I hope they're right, because I really want to go home. So the world has only 6 months in which to change the course of the climate crisis and prevent a post-lockdown rebound in greenhouse gas emissions that would overwhelm efforts to stave off climate catastrophe. One of the world's foremost energy experts has warned. Investors were also keen to put private sector money into green recovery alongside government stimulus spending. Can you see private, corporate,
they have to get alliance? Everybody in there.
This is exactly what the Jesuit economic plan is all about. So let's have a look at this here. Investors were also keen to put private sector money into green recovery alongside government stimulus spending. In other words, you have government, private enterprise working together. That's the Jesuit system. That's a form of fascism. Said Stephanie Pfeiffer, chief executive of the Institutional Investor Group on Climate Change, representing funds and asset managers with $26 trillion in assets. That's amazing.
Staggering.
So they are geared for this reset.
You remember in the video, they said, the CEO of MasterCard said, governments do not have enough money. They have to get private sector with that amount of, and look at what have they got here.
Now, if you go back to the feudal system of the Middle Ages, when the first beast of Revelation chapter 13 had control over church and state, it was a feudal system. So you had the church leading the way, you had government, and then you had the lords. And then you had the worker, the serf. Now, if you put that into a modern context, if we give the power back to the beast, then you will have the church controlling the state, you will have the government, and you will have the mega private corporations, which are the lords, the feudal lords of the Middle Ages. And because private enterprise will virtually be wiped out by the system, you'll be back to the system of the Middle Ages, where the state and the feudal lords, which is the mega private corporations, will employ the people, and the people will be subject to that hierarchy of power. It's the exact system of the Middle Ages. We'll be back to square one.
And now, okay, so how do you put this now into the scenario of the King of the North and South? Eventually,
the power must be given to
the King of the North.
To the King of the North. So we're going to head in this direction, but in some modified form.
Yes.
COVID-19 pandemic is a fire drill for the effects of climate crisis, says UN official. Now, I find this one particularly interesting. If this is a fire drill, then what will be the real thing? Mm. The coronavirus pandemic is just a fire drill for what is likely to follow from the climate crisis. And the protests of a racial injustice around the world show the need to tie together social equality, environmental sustainability, and health. How do you get all of those into one pot? This is amazing. So, linked up with climate change, you have social equality, you have racial injustice, environmental sustainability and health.
So if you go back to Matthew 24, in this article, they bring together Matthew 24.
Absolutely.
The ethnos against ethnos.
Yes.
The environment is the pestilences and the famines, and all these things are mentioned in here.
And the racial injustice, the ethnos of ethnos, the
economy.
The economy, the nations. Everything is right in this. This is like reading a blueprint for Matthew 24. She said there was a very, very clear connection between the COVID-19 and climate crisis and Black Lives Matter protests against around the world. Now, can you explain that to me? How does the Black Lives Matter movement and climate change get linked together? It's this mental gymnastics of a of a very interesting kind. Human rights were inseparable from dealing with climate breakdown. So they're putting all of this into a package and heading towards a reset. Let's just have a look at a video where the church militant group of the Roman Catholic Church is speaking, which is King of the North philosophy, right? Now, within the Roman Catholic Church, you have the same aspects. You have the liberal aspect and you have the conservative aspect. So you have the conservative religious reasons as to why things must work like they work. And then you have the very secular thinking of some of the others. So this conflict is even raging within the church.
Yes, the North and South is in the church.
Correct.
Interesting that also in the church they want to drain the swamp.
There's a swamp within the Catholic Church as well,
yes,
which needs to be...
You remember Cardinal Vigano was mentioning that also to Trump in his...
Correct. So let's have a look at what they are saying about this issue, because it really is a fascinating interplay between King of the North and King of the South philosophy.
How do we explain that on September 24th, 2019, President Donald Trump stood on the floor of the United Nations General Assembly, arguably the biggest platform, the biggest stage in the world, and he announced his intention to stand against the New World Order? How do we explain this?
If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations.
For whatever reason, Donald Trump looked them straight in the eye, and he said he was going to stand against those who would destroy national sovereignty.
Today I have a message for those open border activists who cloak themselves in the rhetoric of social justice. Your policies are not just. Your policies are cruel and evil.
For whatever reason, Donald Trump looked them straight in the eye and he declared war, even on the neocon war machine that had been destabilizing the entire world under goofballs like George W. Bush.
And America's goal is not to go with these endless wars, wars that never end.
He looked them straight in the eyes at the United Nations, Donald Trump did, and he blasted socialism.
One of the most serious challenges our countries face is the specter of socialism. It's the wrecker of nations and destroyer of societies. Socialism and communism are about one thing only, power for the ruling class. Today I repeat a message for the world that I have delivered at home. America will never be a socialist country.
Donald Trump looked them straight in the eye on the floor of the United Nations, and he defended the basic right of all of us to protect our homes and our families and to not need the nanny state New World Order.
There is no circumstance under which the United States will allow international entities to trample on the rights of our citizens, including the right to self-defense. That is why this year I announced that we will never ratify the UN Arms Trade Treaty, which would threaten the liberties of law-abiding American citizens. The United States will always uphold our constitutional right to keep and bear arms.
And then Donald Trump committed the ultimate crime. Looking the world straight in the eyes, he defended the unborn.
Americans will also never tire of defending innocent life. We are aware that many United Nations projects have attempted to assert a global right to taxpayer-funded abortion on demand, right up until the moment of delivery. Global bureaucrats have absolutely no business attacking the sovereignty of nations that wish to protect innocent life. Like many nations here today, we in America believe that every child, born and unborn, is a sacred gift from God.
Friends, how do you explain this? I mean, this speech of Donald Trump rocked the United Nations. It rocked the New World Order. The Vatican kicked into panic mode, hosting conferences immediately, warning that Trump threatened the entire world. Remember, we played this clip a lot of times. Let's play it one more time just for old time's sake.
The U.S. is a problem. It became a far more significant problem with Donald Trump. He may or may not be president after November. But the U.S. became vastly more complicated for the world since 2017.
Here we have classic interplay between North and South thinking. And it's interesting that even within the Roman Catholic Church, this war is apparently raging. So you have the two philosophies. The archbishops are divided,
yes.
One of them siding with Trump, the other siding with the so-called New World Order. So we have the classic dialectic, and we have this interplay between forces.
And if we put that filter in again, where are they sitting?
That filter tells me that the power, which is the second power, will be the one that will enforce the world. Now, the second power, which is the United States of America, also has both aspects. You have Biden on the one hand, you have Donald Trump on the other. So depending which one wins the election, it could go either way. Again, it is not up to us to choose sides, because we are looking at a strategy between North and South. Our objective is to say, where do we stand when the synthesis happens?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not predicting how the synthesis will happen, we just say it will happen.
Exactly.
What the procedures will be, what the issues are, is absolutely irrelevant. And what powers they use to achieve it is also irrelevant. But I cannot be involved.
No.
I have to come out and be separate, thus says the Lord.
Amen.
And only by separating ourselves, and when the Bible speaks about separating, it says separating unto the commandments of God. That's the issue. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
Let us listen to what Donald Trump said at his Tulsa speech, which is also fascinating, because we're watching an interplay here,
mm-hmm.
and we need to see what both sides are saying. Without choosing sides, let's reiterate that constantly.
We've spent over $2 trillion to completely rebuild the unmatched strength and power of the United States military. They got rid of a lot of bad people that were there for a long time, sort of like me in Washington, draining the swamp. I never knew it was so deep. But it's happening. It's happening. I never knew it was so deep. It's deep and thick and a lot of bad characters. But you don't hear them talking about COVID. COVID. To be specific, COVID-19. That name gets further and further away from China as opposed to calling it the Chinese virus. Joe Biden and the Democrats want to prosecute Americans for going to church, but not for burning a church. They want to crush religious liberty. They don't want religion. Silence religious believers. Indoctrinate your children with hateful and vicious lies about our country. Biden is fully controlled by the fringe of his party. He is their pawn. He doesn't even know where the hell he is, let's face it. He installed socialists, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, to be in charge of his environmental policy and his energy. Energy. You can forget petroleum. How does Oklahoma feel about being petroleum-free? Not good, right? We will keep America out of foolish, stupid, ridiculous foreign wars. We will never hesitate to kill America's terrorist enemies. We will launch a new age of American ambition in space, and the United States will be the first nation to land on Mars. Good program. We believe that faith and family, not government and bureaucracy, are the true American way.
Well, that is either the thesis or the antithesis. Time will tell, right?
Yes.
And we have these two very opposite ideologies. Now, if I had to apply again the biblical filter, the Bible tells us church and state will come together. What is he standing for?
The whole time you hear faith.
Church and state standing together. Now, again, I reiterate, the other side, Biden, Nancy Pelosi, all of these people are also very staunch Roman Catholics.
Yes.
But even within that church, the one side is decrying the other side and saying they're wicked, etc., etc. So this is a massive game.
Yeah, it's a big... You mustn't get...
sucked in.
Yes.
You mustn't get sucked in. You must be an observer. You must put that biblical pair of spectacles on and filter this information. The fact of the matter is, in the end, church and state will combine and they will enact laws that will put God's people into dire straits.
The commandment-keeping people.
The commandment-keeping people. And this is where we're heading for.
Because why I am the whole time stating it like that is because the people that will be in charge of persecuting the commandment-keeping people will also be doing it in the name of God.
Correct.
And that's why you have to realize it's going to they will say they're God's people.
And not only that, the Bible says that those who kill you will think that they're doing God a favor.
Yes.
So church and state is the bottom line. That is where any synthesis will have to go to. We are not predictors of exactly how.
No.
But we're looking at the scenarios and saying that we do have the conflict between North and South. There will be a reset, which is the synthesis. Climate change will be a glue, because if you have a religious view of things, then you will say, we have to keep Sunday in order to honor God. If you have a secular view, you'll say we'll have to keep Sunday to give the earth a rest once a week. It doesn't matter. So how does church and state fit into this issue? Here is CBN News, and this is the Christian perspective. Is this King of the North philosophy or King of the South philosophy?
King of the North.
King of the North. The founders meant to keep government out of the church, not God. out of the government. It's an interesting view. The 4th of July makes us think of our independence and freedoms. But when our founders came up with the First Amendment, were they trying to keep government free from religion or religion free from government? That who is saying today that we must keep government free from religion?
The King of the South.
King of the South. So here is the Christian perspective. Or religion free from government. These days, the phrase wall of separation between church and state has come to mean keeping God or his believers from having a big effect on government and public life. But that's far, far from what the founding fathers were thinking of when they were separating church and state. I wonder whether that is actually true, but that's not for us to debate. In Jefferson's mind, the wall of separation was a unidirectional wall put there to keep the government out of the church, not to keep the influence of the church out of the government. So church and state to government coming together, that is King of the North perspective. And this perspective will somehow be implemented. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says, right?
Yes.
So if church and state must come together, then the religious aspect must be prominent, right? So let's have a look at what Donald Trump has to say on this issue.
Just on the evangelical front, I've asked Sarah Sanders this, Mike Pompeo, they all give me the same answer. I say, was President Trump put in office for such a time as this? Did God put President Trump in office for such a time as this? I never asked you that question. What do you think?
Well, I don't know what they said specifically.
They said yes.
Okay, because I have had Ben Carson said the same thing. You know, Ben Carson came to me because he ran a very effective campaign, yeah. And he did a good job. He really did. You know, he came in one of the top people. And he said to me, you know, you're going to win. I said, Ben, I'm running against you. What are you telling me? He said, you're going to win because God put you here for this occasion. I said, what a lovely thing to say. That was the first one that I heard it from, Ben Carson. And it was during the campaign. I was running against him, and he was saying, I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very high-quality guy. He's done a great job in the administration,
too. Do you buy
that?
Do you buy what he was saying?
I almost don't even want to think about it, because you know what? All I'm going to do is, I hope it's true. All I'm going to do is I'm going to do my best, and part of what I'm doing my best on is for the religious community, beyond evangelical. Evangelical is a very big part. It's very important to me. You know, we have great support. I was so honored when Franklin Graham said that his father voted for me.
Mm.
And that was something that Billy Graham has never announced who he was voting for. But Franklin Graham said his father voted for him. He went public with it, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was a big moment because I have such respect for Franklin and for the family and Billy. Billy Graham is Billy Graham, right? But when he said that his father, his last vote was for me, and his father never announced who he was voting for, would never talk about it. And I just hope I get tremendous evangelical Christian support because, and I'm not saying this as a bragging thing, nobody has done more for religion than I have. Look what I've done in Israel, which is a big thing with the evangelicals.
Tier A.
In many respects, it's more important to the evangelicals than to Jewish people in this country.
That was amazing, wasn't it? Now, here again, whether he is the one who is going to implement it or not is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, he's making it very prominent that the church has an important role.
In the state.
And even if the other side should win, let's say Joe Biden comes in and he wins. He's also a Roman Catholic.
And he's, according to him, a dedicated one.
Exactly. He's a very staunch one. And Nancy Pelosi is a very, very dedicated Roman Catholic. What they could do is say, we acknowledge that the church has an important role and bring it in and link it. It's a possibility. Or Donald Trump could do it. It's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. The fact is, it's going to be linked.
Exactly.
It's going to come in. That's what the filter says. So can I choose sides?
No.
We always come back to this point.
The whole time.
Because according to Daniel, the The King of the North and the King of the South are sitting at one table, and they are feeding information, which the Bible calls lies,
yes,
to the world, to change the mindset and the way of thinking of humanity. Let us look again at another little video clip, which is also very interesting, because here again we're looking at the church militant, the conservative arm of the Roman Catholic system, that also claims that there is a swamp within the Catholic Church that must be drained, of which they're quite open, Pope Francis is part of.
Yes,
he needs to be drained. So you have Bishop Vigano representing the role of the conservative, old-fashioned, down-to-earth Roman Catholicism, as opposed to the Bishop of New York, etc., etc., with the very liberal ones. So their perspective is that the way Donald Trump is speaking, he's actually almost like a Catholic, and he should actually become a Catholic.
Yes.
Mr. President, you need to become Catholic, and you need to convert now. About 4 years ago, Church Militant produced a vortex in the heat of the 2016 campaign where we compared Donald Trump to Constantine. Constantine, of course, was the eventual sole emperor who defeated Maxentius at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge just north of central Rome on October 28, 312 AD, which happens to be the same week as this year's election. The victory paved the way for Christianity to be freed from the persecutions and eventually become the religion of the Roman Empire. Had Maxentius won the Battle of the Milvian Bridge, there's no telling what the fate of the church would have been, or eventually Western civilization. Yes, the battle was that important. All, everything, hung in the balance. Fast forward 1,700 years. Another Constantine is bearing down on the capital of the empire, and a ferocious force intent on defending and advancing the depravity of its own worldview is primed to wipe him out. Like the first Constantine, he too is already emperor, so to speak, and battling another emperor, a modern-day Maxentius, just as entrenched and claiming the same authority. Constantine had come to clear the swamp and faced a loathsome imperial deep state. The most important woman in Constantine's life, the eventual Saint Helena, had converted to Catholicism and would later travel to Jerusalem and discover the true cross, Golgotha, and many of the treasures of the redemption, and bring them back and establish them in Rome. What brought about the victory was Constantine corresponding to a grace given him, which he could have accepted or rejected. He accepted. He also converted to Catholicism personally, which brings us to our point. Mr. President, convert to the Catholic Church. It's the church, the only church, because there is only one church, founded by Christ, the same Christ who promised victory to Constantine, who used his victory to restore order to the empire and free the church, which set in motion events which would lead to the establishment of Western civilization. Today, Western civilization needs Constantine to reappear, but Constantine needs to accept the grace given to him and correspond to it. First, a conversion to Catholicism, which in some ways you have already begun, would create a Catholic versus Catholic November matchup, and you would be able to meet Biden on the Milvian Bridge and wipe him out, claimant to claimant, and call him out for his phony Catholicism and claim to the faith. Biden has no claim on the faith beyond his baptismal certificate. He's not only a traitor to his country, as his politics reveal, but precipitated that treason with, first, treachery against the faith. Second, a conversion to Catholicism would contextualize the election for what it really is, a great spiritual battle, the effects of which will be felt long after the vote counting has stopped. We understand our First Lady prays the rosary. Pray it with her. Pray with your First Lady to Our Lady. She will guide you to the fullness of truth, for she is the mother of truth and desires that all come to her divine Son. Now, all of this might seem a tad strange, Mr. President, although we suspect not entirely so. Every now and then, you say something here and there which indicates grace is fast at work. We firmly believe it is this movement of grace which has arrayed the powers of hell against you. And speaking of powers arrayed against you, You are already more Catholic than most of the U.S. bishops. Admittedly, that's a pretty low bar, but it's still true. Most importantly, Mr. President, you are a man of goodwill, a man who wants to follow the truth wherever it leads. Your past doesn't matter. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Church Militant has been saying for 4 years now that you won in 16 because the Queen of Heaven picked you to play an important role in revealing and exposing the depth of evil in the nation. You have done that, and you need to keep doing it. But at this point, the pitch of battle is so fierce that you now need to return the favor, so to speak, and draw down the additional graces which come from conversion, a turning to and embracing of the fullness of truth. You need to ready your soul, personally and professionally, for the coming onslaught. America is the last domino to fall, the last great hope of the world, even with all her many errors and evils, which in a second term you must set about to undo as best you can. All the violence and blasphemy and destruction present in the streets are demons feeling or sensing they have almost achieved complete victory. Just one more final push and the world can be plunged into a hellish darkness. Heaven chose you, Mr. President, as unlikely as many think that is. Heaven chose you, now you must choose heaven. You need to receive our blessed Lord's body and blood in Holy Communion. As the possessed crowds kneel to the politically correct gods of the modern empire, you must kneel to the Queen of Heaven and her divine Son. Embrace the fullness of the faith, Mr. President. Even if you don't understand it fully, you don't need to understand it fully. You need only understand it sufficiently. No one understands God fully. Constantine didn't, yet he was given victory so that heaven could use him to create a new world, a world which has fallen to you to now preserve. The Lord of heaven and earth is also the Lord of history, and the moment of history has now arrived, Mr. President, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Put up a statue of St. Michael in the White House and convert to the Catholic faith. Then go into battle and behold the power of God.
I found that very fascinating.
Yes.
Is he describing a battle between two ideologies?
Yes.
Did he use the word push?
Yes, I also heard.
Does the Bible use the word push?
Yes.
Now, he, of course, is a conservative Roman Catholic, so he believes that Constantine ushered in this great opportunity for Rome, right?
Mm-hmm.
But history tells us that it ushered in the Dark Ages.
Yes.
The worst period that even history claims to be the Dark Ages. And if that time hadn't been shortened, no flesh would have survived. So God raised up the Reformation to put the Bible and Jesus Christ back into the center.
There came persecution for God's commandment-keeping people out of Constantine.
This man says, yes, he was the one who introduced Sunday law. Mm-hmm. And Rome perfected it by making it an anti-Sabbath law as well. Or the Roman papacy.
Papacy, yeah.
So you have this fascinating war, and it's all taking place in the context of the King of the North and the King of the South. Now, they are playing up Donald Trump as the King of the North. But the real King of the North, of course, is the one who is the puppet master behind the scenes. So it's just interesting to show that prophecy is fulfilling before our very eyes.
Even the language of the prophecies are being fulfilled.
Absolutely. And it is just astounding to me that there are people that are willing to say that this is mere coincidence. Mm. Coincidence apologists. It's interesting that there's this amazing so-called prophecy about Donald Trump, that he will lead America back to God, according to a 1983 prophecy. Now, there was this man in Rome who was very religious and apparently took part in the Mass on numerous occasions per day, going from one church to the other to partake. And he had this vision that Donald Trump was going to be the one who was going to lead America back to God. And he was so convinced that when the Pope opened the holy door, he actually purchased one of those bricks, commemorative bricks, and he had Donald Trump's name placed upon it to sort of put the prayers for the world behind Donald Trump so that this could actually happen long, long before he became president. Fascinating story. So the world is being prepared for this idea that America will go back to God. And, well, the Bible prophecy tells us that they will do that, but it will be the wrong God.
Yes.
It will be the wrong one. So let's look at a video of this, which is a short summary. You shortened it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Dr. Curran said that in the 1980s, he was talking to Tom Zimmer. And Tom Zimmer said to him, "Claude, there's a man right now who I believe in the future is going to lead America back to God." And Tom Zimmer said, "The man who's going to in the future lead our country back to God is Donald J. Trump." And Dr. Curran said, "You mean the New York Playboy? Like, this is the guy?" And Tom Zimmer said, "Believe me, I have a premonition that this is the man who's going to do it in the future." Tom Zimmer, in the 1980s, donated a brick to be put in the holy door of the Vatican that said Donald J. Trump. And he did that because he wanted those masses in the Vatican to be said for him, because he knew that in the future, this man was going to be a great leader of America and bring Americans back to God.
And while Father Capoverde in 2017 already believed that the prophecy of Tom Zimmer was fulfilled in President Trump because Melania Trump led a huge public meeting by praying the Lord's Prayer, think how much more we've seen Trump bringing America back to God now. And there's no one better to describe that than the former Apostolic Nuncio, that is, Papal Representative to the United States of America, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. At LifeSite, we were privileged to be asked by Archbishop Vigano to publish his open letter to President Trump. And when the president himself retweeted it and spoke of his thanks and admiration for Archbishop Vigano, it was tremendous. It is, in fact, inside Archbishop Vigano's letter to the president that the fulfillment of that 1983 prophecy of Tom Zimmer can be seen even more clearly. Tom Zimmer was real and saintly, and he did make that prophecy about President Trump. And if it has at least in part been fulfilled already, maybe there's more to come. Maybe with Tom's intercession for America, his homeland, and for President Trump, we'll see the president do even more to bring America back to God.
Are we living in fascinating times?
Definitely.
Have we ever seen so many events culminating that lead to a fulfillment of biblical prophecy?
And I must say, the last movements or the last few weeks, as movements have been rapid ones.
We can't even keep up. It's so rapid. By the time we air this, there will be...
It's already old news.
It's already old news, and we air it almost immediately. So then, in 9th of July 2020, the Archbishop Vigano wrote a prayer for the United States of America. And it's an amazing prayer. We don't have to read the whole thing. People can look it up for themselves. But he's asking for a blessing. Illuminate those who govern us, that they may commit themselves to the common good in respect for your holy law. Now, this is a Catholic archbishop speaking. Mm-hmm. What law is he speaking about?
Definitely the church's laws.
Didn't we read the doctrine of the serpent?
Yes.
Didn't we see that they changed the commandments?
I just want to, on that point, They didn't officially change the commandments in a Bible and brought out a Bible.
No.
It's in the catechism.
In the catechism they change it.
And they follow their tradition in the catechism.
Correct.
Not the Bible.
No.
That's just to clarify that, because a lot of people ask, they can't find the Bible where they've changed the commandments.
They don't change them in the They don't change them in the Bible. They change them in the catechism. Mm-hmm. So in other words, they're saying, that's what the Bible says. We don't care. This is what we teach.
The church is above the Bible.
That's right. And we dealt with that in the last WhatsApp. So protect those who defending the inviolable principles of natural law.
Sounds like...
Is that the commandments of God, or is that the commandments according to the serpent?
Yes.
And your commandments must face the repeated assaults of the enemy of the human race. Make our families grow in the example that our Lord has given us, together with His Most Holy Mother and Saint Joseph in the home of Nazareth. Now, what did we discuss there in the doctrine of the serpent? Do you see how important it is that we
put the basis.
We build a structure based on the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Or else even the elect will be deceived. Where is the Most Holy Mother, Mary, at the moment, and Joseph? They're sleeping.
Sleeping.
They have no more activity whatsoever on this earth.
In the previous video, we heard that Tom Zimmer must intercede for Trump or for the country.
Yes.
But he's also in the grave, sleeping.
Absolutely. Keep each one of us, O Lord, in your most sacred heart. Sacred heart worship is from pagan origins, by the way. And above all, he whom your providence has placed at the head of our nation. Bless the President of the United States of America, so that aware of his responsibilities and his duties, he may be a knight of justice. That's fascinating. A defender of the oppressed, a firm bulwark against your enemies, and a proud supporter of the children of light. Donald Trump, of course, has a Jesuit education, Fordham University. Place the United States of America and the whole world under the mantle of the Queen of Victories, our unconquered leader in battle, the Immaculate Conception. Is this about Jesus Christ, or is this about another power?
Yes, another power.
And as we discussed last time, the Immaculate Conception means that Mary was conceived without sin.
Mm.
So, you know what, if you're logical about this, they say that she had to be conceived without sin so that the Redeemer could be conceived without sin. Then how could she be conceived without sin if her parents were not conceived without sin? And how can they be without sin? You can take it all the way back, right?
Yes.
It becomes a totally ridiculous doctrine. So anyway, this is the kind of prayer that is going out for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and what makes it also very dangerous is, if you go back to the episode where we discussed his open letter, that open letter has very similar sentiments to what the evangelicals have.
Yes.
So it's so close intertwined.
So it's the beast and the false prophet on the same side of the issue.
Yes.
They're all Babylonian.
Protestantism joining hands.
Now, just for interest's sake, we have something else thrown into the melting pot.
Yes.
And you have Kanye West saying that he's going to run for president. Now, he used to be a Trump fan. Now he says he's no longer a Trump fan. But he's the one who converted from a situation where he claimed that he was a god to a evangelical position where he propagates Sunday keeping.
Yes, very staunchly.
So here you have another man who will play a role in this election, and maybe he won't choose the Trump side or the other side. He'll be somewhere in the middle, but he'll be standing for a religious principle and specifically for the Sunday issue.
Exactly.
And this famous song where he speaks about Chick-fil-A, where he mentioned it basically just because they propagate Sunday and close their shops on Sunday. So we have this in the mix.
Very interesting. And with him running, you've got at least two already pushing for the religio-political side.
And another interesting point, what if in the end when he loses or wins, doesn't really matter, as we always say, mm-hmm. he has to give his authority to someone, right? Mm-hmm. He'll choose sides in the end. But what is he taking with him? He's taking a chunk of youth and their thinking
yes.
with him. And then when he supports one side or the other, that mindset is transferred into that as well. Everything is playing out in the prophetic scenario. Let's just look at what he is saying. We must now realize the promise of America by trusting God, unifying our vision and building our future. This sounds like a glue, right? Mm-hmm. Unification. I'm running for president of the United States. West has an upcoming album, God's Country. Is this King of the North or King of the South philosophy?
King of the North.
King of the North. And its first single, Wash Us in the Blood, was released this week. I find it very interesting that the us is capitalized. Mm.
Very interesting.
I find that very interesting.
Ye shall be as gods.
Yes. And that used to be his philosophy, right? He made no bones about saying that he was God, that he was another God on earth. And the Roman Catholic papacy also capitalizes the us mm-hmm. in its documents. So very, very interesting.
In a previous episode of What's a Prophet we did, we already showed a lot of Kanye West's philosophy and how the papacy are very supportive.
Absolutely. And the Catholic priest made a prediction that he was going to go to the Vatican. So Kanye West on Planned Parenthood is a tool of white supremacists. So now you have, again, the interplay between ethnos and ethnos coming in. And these are all biblical issues which the Bible says will be prominent at the end of time. They are being presented to us on a platter. And there are people that are saying we're not seeing fulfillment of prophecy.
Every single one that you've discussed now goes back to Matthew 24.
Absolutely. And it writes here, so when they say the way we're going to fix COVID is with a vaccine, I'm extremely cautious, said West. That's the mark of the beast. This is interesting stuff. They want to put chips inside of us. They want to do all kinds of things to make it where we can't cross the gates of heaven. So here's the bottom line. This man is saying the chip is the mark of the beast. At the same time, he's propagating Sunday, which is the real mark of the beast. Because the beast has to define what its mark is, right? Yes. And the beast, Catholicism had says, the mark of our ecclesiastical power is that we have changed the Sabbath to the Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's a question of authority.
Yes.
So here is the possibility for the whole evangelical world to be sucked into this philosophy even more, avoiding the one and jumping into the fire by accepting the real mark of the beast, by trying to avoid the false mark of the yes. beast. The devil is very clever.
He's got all his bases covered.
So they want this chip inside of us. They want us to do all kinds of things to make it where we can't cross the gates of heaven. So this is Babylonian philosophy at its best. Reinstate in God's state, in God's country, the fear and love of God in all schools and organizations, and you chill the fear and love of everything else. So that was the plan by the devil, to have our kids committing suicide at an all-time high by removing God, to have murders in Chicago at an all-time high, because the human beings working for the devil remove God and prayer from our schools. This is classic King of the North philosophy. Yes.
So he's talking the talk that evangelicals and King of the North people want to hear.
That's what they want to hear. And he has the ear of the youth.
Yes.
So that's where the power play is taking place.
We must also realize it's not a small guy, this Kanye West. I mean, just his wife has got 175 million followers on Twitter.
So that's amazing.
He's a billionaire also. So this is interesting, the happenings.
And first they showed him with Donald Trump and supporting Donald Trump. Now, of course, he has to distance himself a little because he wants to run for president. But nothing happens on the stage of history that is not planned. So when the King of the North and the King of the South sit at the table, according to Daniel, they are planning. And what are they planning? What the biblical filter tells us they will be planning. So, to sum up, we have the entire mix in this bowl. Mm-hmm. And we have a very strong push for the King of the North philosophy to come through. We have Kanye West, who is playing part or taking the side of the King of the North. You have this very interesting racial aspect that is coming into the issue, which we will discuss in some more detail, Black Lives Matter and all of those issues. And he wants to reinstate God, wants to reinstate the worship of God. Now remember, he's the man who is pushing the Sunday movement.
Yes.
And remember, in a previous one, we discussed this article where they said, bring back the blue laws. This was Crisis Magazine, A Voice for the Faithful Catholic Laity, where they discussed the vision of the old days where Sunday was part of the establishment in the United States. And they want America to return to normality and bring back these laws so that the world can keep Sunday. This is what Kanye West is standing for.
Yes, and his wife, Kim Kardashian, and the children were baptized into the Orthodox Church last year.
Fascinating. So we're getting them all into this religio-political mindset and bring God back. So that reminds me again of Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. I believe that the stage is set for this final conflict, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, the church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, the lost church on earth. Mm-hmm. And the criteria, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We've discussed this verse many, many times. So after the conflict between the King of the North and the King of the South, which will result in major turmoil on this planet, a time of trouble which is unheard of and unbelievable, within this scenario, the synthesis will lead to this final conflict. That is where it's heading.
Yes.
And we are observers.
That's it.
That's it.
Use we're the not, Bible?
We're not going to choose sides. We are observers. This is where it's heading, this final conflict. And when that final conflict comes against those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, then people will have to make a choice. And God's people will be shaken. We've discussed the shaking.
Yes.
And there will be a people that will stand by the Bible and its principles and by the government of God, though the heavens fall, and that have the testimony of Jesus and accept the righteousness of Christ rather than the mark of the beast. And these issues are what the Bible says will happen, and this is what we see unfolding before our eyes. Now, next time I think we should discuss the further unfolding of the ethnos versus ethnos and all of these issues that are coming into play. Because the final stage,
that's synthesis,
and the final conflict has to be in harmony with the prophecy and also in harmony with Matthew 24. Mm-hmm. All of these things must come together. And this is what we are seeing in the world. Let's close in prayer.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we are seeing the unfolding of prophecy before our eyes. And Lord, you have admonished your people to come out and be separate, not to be part of these conglomerations that are bent on destroying your truth. Help us to make our stand upon the thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.